right, so we're doing the 2024 flag lowering. It's going to be quick because I really don't have a whole lot more to say. This went basically how I thought it was going to go, but we'll go do the thing because some of you thick fucks are looking forward to it, and there is a dedicated beer to it that we'll try here. If you were listening to Friday's episode of Tall Can Audio, I guess it was 1306. We had Ian from the Whippersnapper Brewing Company in here. We were talking Star Wars beers with him. Hope they had a great event there on Star Wars Day, May the 4th. And, oh boy, that's going to be a problem. I had asked him a few days beforehand, because he said that this is how he found the show. It was the annual flag lowering show where I go out and I got to take down the big flag outside the studio here, the big Maple Leafs flag, and that he enjoyed my suffering for that. So I said, well, if you're going to enjoy it so much, you got a beer over there. And I'm thinking like titles, like something, a depressing title. And he went in a different direction, found a beer here that is 15%. And I'm not sure that's what I need in this moment. But that's what I got in this moment. I was out for a few... Okay, yeah, that's 15%, all right. Was out for a few hours before the game, had a couple of pints, came home, watched this all play out, and had a beverage or two while I was here, and now that one. So we'll head out onto the balcony here to take this thing down. And you get to come with me, but I know some years you've been able to tune in and... hear me get all sad. Some years you get to tune in, hear me get all angry. And honestly, this year, I just don't have a whole lot for you. It's exactly, and maybe not exactly, I couldn't have predicted the exact direction the series would take in terms of how many games, in terms of where this was all going to go. But it did play out in terms of the holes that the Leafs had, exactly the way I said it was going to. Since the fall. And, you know, like this team wasn't quite as good as past years. And the sales pitch was, yeah, you don't have to be quite as good in the regular season, but as long as you're going to be good in the playoffs. And I don't know what the indicators were supposed to be that they were going to be better in the playoffs. And they weren't. Scored 3 goals once in this series. It was 2 or less for the rest of the game. 6 games, 2 goals or less. That's exactly what happened last year. So, it's funny when I get out here every year, this is why this is always a bit of a train wreck of a show, is you're following more of a stream of consciousness than anything else. And right now, I have double knotted this flag in many places that refuses to come undone. But at the deadline, they go out and they double down. The D needed to be addressed at the deadline. Giordano had shown, you know, probably wasn't going to be able to hack it again. He was struggling a lot in the playoffs last year. You know, they weren't sold yet on Liljegren, who'd been hot and cold. He had that great stretch when Morgan Riley was hurt. He and Brody had been really good together, but otherwise Brody had struggled too. So they go out and get Labushkin. And they go out and they get, what's his name there? Joel fucking Edmondson. And I said it then. You've got enough of this in Simon Benoit, in Jake McCabe. And if I'm being fair through this playoff series, I would say Labushkin struggled early, but game 6 especially, I thought he was really good. Game 7, I was sort of indifferent. Edmondson blocked a lot of shots. It's worth something. When you're only going to, if you're going to build this whole thing, and this has always been the story on the Leafs since the Tavares move, the big four forward, $40 million, and these guys, blah, 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 blah. You can't keep chipping away at it. I wasn't a big Engvall guy, but you let him go. You couldn't keep Mikheyev, who was able to help kind of rush the puck. You go back even further to like your Jake Gardners or your Travis Dermotts or your These were up and out guys, up, complete a pass and get going. They were not rugged in your own end, guys. You were going to struggle on the penalty kill. You were going to struggle to break up the cycle. But you could get the puck to these high-powered forwards. And over the years, over the last 4 or 5 years, whatever it's been, we have chipped away at it every year, letting guys leave, replacing them with Edmondsons and Labushkins and Luke Shens. And remember, we did the fucking Nick Foligno thing with his shattered spine, recording this on the anniversary of, I don't even remember, something I saw with about Owen Nolan today. Maybe it's not even an anniversary, just had him on the mind earlier today, the time they traded away Alan McCauley. Oh, it was because we were talking about that 2002 Leafs team, where Alan McCauley and Travis Green were just fucking not. The laces that I tie this thing up with get gnarled every year out here. That 2002 Leafs team that was powered by Alan McCauley and Travis Green and Gary Roberts and Alex McGillney, well, half the team was out. Sundin was hurt and Tucker was hurt, and I don't remember half your forwards were hurt. And so we were talking about Alan McCauley and the fact that they traded him with Brad Boyes and a first-round pick for Owen Nolan. You found out once you got him that his spine was shattered. Which is a problem if you're a hockey player. Your spine is important to you. But that was sort of what you were looking at through the second half of this series, right? Can they do it without Willie, who they've been missing quite a bit? Can they do it without Matthews? And so you were sort of banking on, could Max Domi be Travis Green for a couple of weeks? Or could David Kampf be Alan McCauley? The answer was no. And the frustrating thing is, look, there's going to be a ton of time as we move through the summer to talk about what you do next, where you go from here. But sitting here tonight, it's stuff I've all already addressed. We all knew the problems coming into the playoffs, or at least if we paid attention, we did. And we all know what the problem's going to be this offseason. You can fire the coach if you want. I probably would, right? You haven't had the playoff success you want to. Is it all on him? No, it isn't. Is some of it on him? Yes, it is. Is that the easiest thing to change? Yeah. Yeah, it is. Mitch Marner, he had a chance. Like, while Matthews was down, to step up and be like, okay, fuck this narrative. Fuck this story that I can't do it in the playoffs. I'm going to get it done. And he just didn't. He had that one really nice goal and I don't know, what was that, game 5 when Matthews didn't come out for the third, he scored. You were already down 3-0, didn't matter. Is it all Marner's fault? No. Is he the guy that is, you know, most commonly pointed at for not getting it done? Yeah, and that's fair. But he's got a total no move, and he's only got 1 year left on his contract. So A, how valuable is he to the team that might be willing to trade for him? And B, is that a team he wants to go to? Because he's got all the control now. So you're sort of stuck. I don't think you want to trade Matthews. I don't really think you want to trade Nylander, who scored 3 goals in games 6 and 7. I don't ever want to hear anyone again talk about William Nylander not being a playoff hockey guy. He steps up maybe more than anyone in that group. You know, we haven't talked about anyone else in that big four. You can talk about John Tavares, and this was that year that we were all, I don't know, waiting for is overstating it, expecting, dreading, whatever you want to call it, that John Tavares would take a step back. And people who don't care for the Leafs or who don't follow the Leafs close enough have been saying that for the last couple of years, but every year, 5-on-5 number, stay hot. He's still clearly a number one line caliber guy until this year. And he finally took a step back. He had his moments, but he wasn't as good this year as he had been in past years. And it looks like the age curve has finally caught up to him. But the one thing you can't take away from him, you know, when you look at this series, is he was clearly giving the Leafs everything he had. They were using him in a defensive role, which has never been his thing before. They're putting his line out against Pasternak. And I don't know what the hell the story was on Pasternak. He wasn't very good in this series until he stuck the fucking dagger in the heart here in overtime off a pretty friendly home bounce. A lot of people saying Hampus Lindholm played that bounce perfectly, shot it cross, dump into the corner, and had that bounce come perfectly. It sure looked to me like that was just a standard dump into Lindholm because he turned and was going for a change. So he thought that was just a dump in too. He did not think that was setting up an opportunity. But Pasternak gets the bounce, makes the move, and scores. And that's the problem with a guy like that, is he can do that no matter how well you have controlled him throughout the series. At some point, he can do that out of nowhere with almost no time. But throughout the series, I think Tavares did a nice job on him. And to Marner's credit, he was okay defensively as well. He didn't have quite the same, I don't know, killer instinct or whatever you want to call it on the penalty kill. Maybe that's got something to do with coming off the high ankle sprain. Like, I really don't know. But Tavares was willing to adapt and willing to give the Leafs whatever he had left in the tank. There's just not that much left in the tank. So there's your big four. Matthews and Nylander both missed significant time in the series with injuries or illnesses. Tavares clearly took a step back, worked hard, and I wouldn't even say Marner's thing was a lack of effort. But early in the series, he just wasn't willing to come to the net. He was going to stay out on the periphery, and in those moments, Boston was going to let him do it. We'll go stand on someone that he might want to pass to and force him to take it hard to the net. And he wasn't going to do it. Is that the moment getting too big for him? I don't know. Look, if it was as easy as trade one of the big four and there was no contractual complications, yeah, it's probably Marner. But the rest of the league has watched him struggle too. He's got the no move. And he's only got 1 year left on his deal. So I see all these tweets after the game. I expect to see a very different Leafs team next year. Well, maybe. I think what you're looking for there is I'd like to see a very different Leafs team next year. But I wouldn't be quite so certain on whether you're actually going to see it. There'll be changes. There always are. But what's Treliving going to be willing to do here and what's he capable of doing here are different questions. But as far as this series goes and trying not to get too far ahead of ourselves and look into what's going to happen here, this is exactly sort of how I saw this going. I think I talked about it on the show, or maybe I tweeted about it after game four when they were down 3-1. Going into game five, my mindset was just sort of like, and it wasn't even overly snarky. But like, if this is where we're at, can you just finish it tonight? Like, can you just take us out behind the shed and put a bullet in the fucking skull and be done with this thing? Because as I said to you all year, I didn't think this team was all that good. So let's not drag it out. But they fought, they battled, and there's something to that. I just don't think it's going to matter. Because we've had other years where you can say, oh, they tried really hard and oh, they battled for this and that. That can't matter forever. At some point, the result has to matter. You know, does anyone remember that John Tavares got hurt in 2021? Like, once it's pointed out to you, yeah. But on the surface, it's just like, no, it's just another one of those years, 7, 8 years, whatever the hell it's been now. The Leafs really not doing much in the playoffs. You have to actually go back and go, oh, which one was 2021? That was the no crowd, Leafs halves. So, like, there's legitimate reasons sometimes that things happen, but at the end of the day, you zoom out and you just go, give me the results. Win or lose. Well, it's lose. Again. So good for the Leafs. They battled through game five and won it. And they battled through game six and won it. And they battled through game seven, pushed it to overtime and crazy fucking carom in overtime and you're out. I don't know that can really make the decisions that have to be made this summer any different than they would have been had they just bowed out in game five like I was sort of hoping for. And don't get me wrong, you sort of get yourself wound up in it. And, you know, they win game six and seven. I'm sitting here probably less stressed than I have been in other years. Less invested, but not uninvested. Not unstressed. When they scored that first goal, Matthews to Nylander there in the third period to make it 1-0, there was an audible, you know, piece of excitement sitting here. But Boston scores a minute and a half later, and you're like, oh, fuck, here we go. into overtime at that point, it's still, yeah, sure, they could score. This could happen. But as I said on the show a little while ago, I'm pretty sure either one of these teams are going to get dusted by Florida. And I think that was part of the reason that made me so able to be detached from this series a little bit. It was like, even if you win it, I didn't really feel like they had a chance in the next round. So, the flag's down anyway. The story's always been get out there that night so that none of you lowly Sens fans potentially driving by the building the next day will get to see me out there taking down my sad flag, honking your horns and pointing and laughing. Yeah, I won't give you that satisfaction. And look, my Twitter feed right now, living here in Ottawa and following the people I do, is littered with just the smallest of troll bullshit. This is the greatest day of the year every year. This is my, you know what? Cool. If your franchise is giving you so little emotional return that this is all you've got, then have at it and enjoy. I asked Rob, I asked Hoffley, I've asked a couple different guests on the show who cheer for the Sens. What would you prefer? That the Leafs stink all year with the Sens, so you can just kind of go, ah, you're down in the mud with us. Or would you rather cheer for the Sens while the Leafs are good in the regular season and then have the Leafs go down in flames in the playoffs so that you kind of have a little dessert? When you're done watching your team suck, you can go and hate watch the Leafs. And those sort of mixed answers on that, but I can tell you as a Leaf fan who went through the Kessel years, right, who went through some dark periods with the Leafs, I'll take this. This night sucks every year, but it's better than being one of the bottom feeders. It's better than having, I'll take a couple of nights in the spring or it's rough, as opposed to every fucking night, knowing my team is a leech. Been there too. It wasn't all that much fun. So I'll take this for now, and maybe they'll fix it. Maybe they'll be better next year. Or maybe they won't. And we'll be doing this again whatever it is, what the last week of April, first week of May. Leafs are done. Like I said, wish I could have freaked out for you a little more. Wish I could have been more angry or more sad, giving you a little something, but it is what it is. You've gone out, you've taken down the flag for another year, and like I said, I've been saying to the people who come in here and tell me, hey, you're just too close to it. This was a good trade deadline. Hey, the Leafs are really good. Look at the record they've had over the last. I'm the one sitting here going, the check engine light is blinking hard. I don't care that the car is still running. There is smoke bellowing under the hood. Do you see that? No, they're good. They're fine. It's all good. Okay, well, game seven, round one again. How wrong was I really? That's where I'll wrap this one up. I was going to say thanks for joining me, but you're really an odd kind of masochist if you've sat through this whole thing with me on the night that the Leafs were eliminated. So I don't know how much I really want to thank you at all, but either way, that's where we're going to do. That's where we're going to finish this. Rob's in studio Sunday afternoon for your Monday morning show. No doubt he'll be a delight, and we'll talk to you then.